Joining me now is Peter Katsas, executive editor of the Boston Phoenix. Peter, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here. Wish the circumstances were different.
Well, given the news of today, what led to the closure of the Boston Phoenix?
A bad economy. It's very simple. Ever since 9/11, national advertising has been drifting lower and lower and lower. And while our local ad base has been very strong, the national ad base for which, you know, we relied heavily has just dwindled to almost nothing. And as a result, the paper has been losing money for, you know, some time. And our publisher and owner, Stephen Mindich, who's been uncomplaining and unfailing in making up the difference for several years, you know, just found that the financial strain was too much.
So you're basically saying that the Phoenix is going under because of changes in the media landscape rather than because of bad business or editorial decisions?
Nothing to do with it. Editorially, we can't print enough papers to move them. Our pickup rate is 97%. It's an advertising problem, pure and simple. Advertising is down in a big way for a big market. Most of what we hear about nationally in terms of the media crisis isn't a media crisis, it's an advertising crisis. Media is being consumed online and in print, you know, by more eyeballs than ever before, and that's true of the Boston Phoenix. But advertisers are spending their money in so many different ways.
Now, it came as a surprise because many thought that the change 6 months ago to a magazine-style format would save the publication. What happened?
It was very popular with readers, very popular with local advertisers, but the national advertisers we were hoping to attract, with the exception of a few, say, such as Budweiser, it didn't make a dent.
The Phoenix was quite a shining spotlight on sexual abuse in the Boston Archdiocese before the Globe got to it. How important was the paper in pushing that story forward, and what other big journalistic legacies do you think the Phoenix will leave behind?
You know, I personally oversaw that story, and it's one of the things I'm particularly proud of in my career. I mean, we've done very dramatic reporting in a number of fields. For example, we were, I believe, the first paper in the United States to write about the continued existence of human slavery in the Sudan. I mean, this was about 15, 20 years ago. We raised questions about the safety at the nuclear power plant in Plymouth. David Bernstein did a groundbreaking series of articles that showed for a police department of its size, Boston had one of the most ineffective homicide units in the nation. You know, we've got a long and distinguished group. Most recently, Chris Ferrone did this wonderful story, which is still available online, about the zany people in the far right around the Breitbart organization and, you know, the inner workings of these smearmeisters. So as Carly Carioli, who's, you know, the current editor of the Boston Phoenix, said, we're going out at the top of our game.
The Portland and Providence Phoenix are both staying open. Why are those papers living on while the flagship is being shuttered here in Boston?
It's a paradox, isn't it? Think of Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett surprised a lot of people by investing in newspapers, but he's investing in small, high-quality, community-based newspapers. Our small, high-quality, community-based weeklies in Portland and Providence, while not immune from the financial pressures of the marketplace, are doing much better. They're smaller, they're stripped down. They've never relied on national advertising. You know, they're lower to the ground. The overhead is lower. You know, it is a paradox, but they are sailing on. We did not want to change. We didn't want to cut the quality of the Boston Phoenix. And that's what Stephen Mindich, our publisher and our owner, was faced with doing. He didn't want to compromise the quality of what people had gotten used to. I mean, he's been subsidizing the papers for several years now in Boston. And, you know, he reached the end of his financial rope. And I think all of us in management agreed we did. You know, we didn't want to compromise our values. We didn't want to trade down. So instead, we're going out of business. with our heads held high.
So there was no possibility of selling the paper and attempting to find other sources of revenue?
Apparently not. You know, this is not a buyer's market for newspapers.
You've been at the Phoenix nearly 25 years and have seen it go through many incarnations. How has the paper changed over the decades?
Well, you know, the funny thing is we're essentially the same. We're a voice for independent writers who have iconoclastic points of view. I suppose our changes reflect the changes in society. You know, I look at the younger people in their 20s who inhabit our newsroom today, and, you know, they're just very much the same as the younger people that were there 25 years ago. And the few old-timers, such as myself, who were around, they keep us young. I mean, I'm awfully close to it. It's awfully hard to say.
One final question in terms of the people capital that you have over at the Phoenix. How many people are going to be losing their jobs? And in your particular case, what's next for you?
I don't know what's next for me. I've got 2 or 3 weeks more because I have to help shut the place down. But I will be moving on. I'll help in Portland and Providence to make sure they're on a strong footing to fly solo. About between 30 and 40 people are going to be losing their jobs here. And I think for the younger ones, they're very smart, they're very talented. It's easy for me to say, but I don't think they'll have any trouble getting a job. They may just have to leave Boston.
Well, Peter Katsas, executive editor of the Boston Phoenix, thanks for joining us, and we wish you and your entire staff well.
Thanks for your interest.